Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. Father, this we ask and covenant with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, please open them, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. The book of Luke, chapter 10. And we're going to read our foundational scripture that we're using for this particular teaching on the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer. Now, I will be reading this particular translation from the New Testament of Modern Speech by Richard Francis Wayman. So if you found Luke 10, verse 19, and it says, I have given you power to tread serpents, scorpions underfoot, and to trample on all the power of the enemy, and in no case shall anything do you harm. Amen. Well, just before I get into the teaching for the day, I'd like to go over and review a couple of items because we always have new people that are calling in and listening to the broadcast, and we don't want people to get behind where they can't catch up. You know, we're discussing the authority of the believer. Now, there are many churches and many believers that don't believe they have authority. You know, in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And it goes on to say, "Because you have rejected knowledge." So we have many Christians that have rejected the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The knowledge is there, but they just rejected it. Now, if we go to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, and it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. You know, it tells us in Romans something very, it says, do not be conformed to this world or this world system that is being controlled by Satan and his demonic demons. Amen. So he tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, our minds have to be transformed so we can receive the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And then in Proverbs 4, verse 7, it says something very interesting. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing." It says, "Therefore, get wisdom." And then it goes on to say, "And in all you're getting, get understanding." And in all you're getting, get understanding. Well, what is wisdom? If wisdom is the principal thing, well, wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. Wisdom will take you places where your human intellect could never could. Amen. Now, understanding, because that verse also tells us, it says, in all our getting is to get understanding. Now, understanding is a compound word consisting of the word under, which means to submit, and standing, which means point of view. Understanding is divine comprehension in your heart that gives you the ability to repeat something at will. Whatever you understand, you can do it again and again, even under pressure. Amen. See, when you truly understand someone, or when you truly understand God's word, the way God sees it is the way you should see it. The way God says it is the way you should see it. And the way God does it is the way you should do it. And the results God gets are the same results you should get. Why? Because you understand it. See, a lot of Christians don't understand that they have the authority in their lives. The authority to rebuke Satan. Amen. Because Satan doesn't have any ability or right to be in your life as Christians, okay? Now, let's go back to our teaching because we want to continue where we left off last week. So what is the source of our authority? What is the source of our authority? The source of our authority is found in the resurrection and exalting of Christ by God. Notice now in verse 17 and 18, the Holy Spirit through Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Paul prayed that the eyes of the Ephesians' understanding, their spirits, might be open to those who want to know the truth. Amen. He wanted all churches, all believers, to be enlightened. The truth of the authority of the believers, however, is overlooked by many Christians. In fact, it is my observation that most churches don't even know the believer has any authority. I mentioned that earlier. Most believers or most churches don't even know the believer has any authority. You know, my opening verse that I use is Romans 10:17. It says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't hear the word of God, and no one's ever teaches you on your authority as Christians, you would never know that you have it. Amen. You just go all your adult life never using the authority that God has given you. Amen. You never will understand the authority of the believer only with your intellect. You must get the spiritual revelation of it. Amen. You must believe it by faith. Now go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, hallelujah, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, hallelujah, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice that the head, Christ, and the body, the church, we are the body, the church here on earth, were raised together. Amen. We were raised together with Christ. Furthermore, this authority was conferred not only upon the head, but also upon the body, the church, because the head and the body are one. When you think of yourself, you think of your head and body as one, correct? You're not thinking of your body as one thing and your head is the other. No, they're one. Amen. They are different components, but they are all part of the same unit. In speaking to believers, they believe that we, the church, were raised up with Christ. Then why don't they believe we have been made to sit together with him? If part of that verse is so, the whole verse is so. Amen. Let me repeat that. In speaking to some believers, they believe that we, the church, was raised up together with Christ. Then if they believe that, then why don't they believe we have been made to sit together with him? Amen. If part of that verse is so, the whole verse is so. Amen. If the church ever gets the revelation that we are the body of Christ, we'll raise up and do the work of Christ. Amen. Please go to John 14. If the church ever gets the revelation that we are the body of Christ, we'll raise up and do the works of Christ. Okay, you there at John 14? Let's go to verse number 12. And this is Jesus speaking himself. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Amen. Until now, we have been doing them only limited. We have been doing the works of our Lord only limited. But look what Jesus says. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, that's the first thing. We have to believe in Christ. He says, the works that I do, that he did, you would do greater works than these, because he goes to the Father. Amen. So if we believe it, we can do it. Remember, all things are possible to him that believe. Amen. When we realize that the authority that belongs to Christ also belongs to individual members of the body of Christ and is available to us, our lives will be revolutionized. Did you get that? Listen, family. He says, when you realize that the authority that belongs to Christ also belongs to individual members of the body of Christ and is available to us, our lives will be revolutionized. We will do great things, and the world will see that we serve the only true and living God. Amen. Now, please go with me to First Corinthians 12. That's 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read verses 12 through 14 and then 27. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12 through 14 and then 27. And it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now, verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ. Amen. It says, but you are the body of Christ and many members individually. Thank God we are the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are the body of Christ and members individually. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 14 through 15. And it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Amen. See, many of you believers, so-called Christians, you hanging out with unbelievers. That's one reason why, and you acting just like they are. Amen. You know, you come to church, sure, on Sunday, dressed up, yes, but after Sunday, you're with unbelievers. It says, do not be unequally yoked. What fellowship do you have with them? The only thing you can deal with the unbelievers is with their salvation. Show them that they have to change their lives and come and accept Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. What communion has light with darkness? Have you noticed, like, when you, and I'm going to use kind of like a little over the top when I'm getting ready to this example. Have you ever been into a room where you go into a dark room and you turn on the light and all the roaches scatter? Because the light is there, They have no communion with light. They do their dirt in the dark. And that's the way Satan is. When you turn the light up on, he scatters. Why? Because there is no communion with light. There's no communion with light and darkness. Amen. So we have to make sure as Christians that we have to live our lifestyle according to the word of God. Amen. The believer is called righteousness, and the unbeliever is called unrighteousness. The believer is called light, amen, and the unbeliever, darkness. The believer is called Christ, and the unbeliever, Baal. Amen. And we have to understand that, family. I'm not saying you cannot have any type of communion or any type of relationship with the unbeliever, but that shouldn't be who you hanging out with. You shouldn't be hanging out with unbelievers. You should be hanging out with Christians, people of like-minded, where you guys can iron sharpening iron. What can an unbeliever tell you? He can't tell you anything. Because why? Because his mind has not been renewed, and his spirit man is certainly still dead. Amen. We have to understand we are seated with Christ. Amen. We have to understand we are seated with Christ. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 17. And it says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Amen. We are one with Christ. We are as Christ. We are seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. All things have been put under our feet. Hallelujah. And you have to believe in that. You have to understand that. That's why I told you understanding. See, when you truly understand the word of God, the way God sees it is the way you should see it. You shouldn't. Why would you not see it the way God sees it? If so, you don't have the understanding. You need to go back and do some studying. Amen. All things have been put under our feet. See, the trouble, the dilemma, the problem with us is that we have been preached a cross religion, and we need to preach a throne religion. And let me repeat that, because I know this is going to step on some people's toes, because there's a lot of people running around here with crosses, and the cross is the curse. Amen. The trouble, the dilemma, the problem with us is that we have been preached a cross religion, and we need to preach a throne religion. By that I mean that people have thought they were supposed to remain at the cross. Well, some have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have backed up to the cross, and have stayed there ever since. Jesus went to the cross one time and never been back. You ought to get a crown because you're a king and wear it around your neck. We have sung songs, "Near the cross, near the cross." Yes, we need to come by the cross for salvation. That's true. We do need that. But we don't need to remain there. Let's go on to Pentecost. Let's go on to the ascension and the throne. Hallelujah. Amen. The cross is actually a place of defeat. I told you, it is a place of defeat. Whereas the resurrection is a place of triumph. When you preach the cross, you are preaching death, and you leave people in death. We all died, all right. We were all raised with Christ, and we are seated with him. Amen, amen. Positionally, that's where we are right now. We're seated with Christ in the place of authority, in the place of authority in heavenly places. Many Christians know nothing about the authority of the believer. They really don't believe we have any authority. They believe they must go through life being dominated by the devil while living on barely get along street. They magnify the devil more than they do God. We need to be delivered, amen, from the bondage of death and walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. We are not at the cross. We died with Christ, but he has raised us together up with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Learn how to take your position of authority. The throne of God is the right hand of his power and is the center of the power of the whole universe. The power to exercise that authority has been given to the resurrection Lord. Amen. And we have that same power. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I'm just about finished for today. The time is telling us we're just about through. But please join us next week where we continue our teaching on the authority of the believer. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Hallelujah.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.